Roto Grinders presents your first word in daily fantasy sports. Let's go! The Morning Grind, presented by FantasyDraft.com. Hey! Stevie, TPFL, and company are here to jumpstart your analysis on today's DFS slate. Without further ado, here's your host, Stephen Young.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Wednesday, it's July 27th. We're going to be tackling the six early games. If you're looking for late game analysis, you can head on over to the Fantasy Fix podcast where DB730 Dan Bach will be taking care of the late games. It's kind of how we do these split slates. And to talk six games here, I'm bringing in my cash buddy here. How you doing, Derek?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. I've had so much tournament talk on the podcast this week that I have to get a cash guy in every once in a while.
Yeah, you're not going to get a lot of tournament talk from me, but cash games I will talk all day about.
I feel like this early slate here, this six game slate is a cash game playable slate. I feel like there's a good enough arms that you can make a cash lineup.
For sure. It's interesting though because there's no viable cheap arm, I don't think, on two pitcher sites. So even though there's a lot of good offenses, I think you're going to wind up spending so much on pitching that you're going to have to find value bats. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic going on.
Yeah. When I was breaking down the slate, there's a couple, like, I guess when we're looking at it on two pitcher sites, we'll talk about it as we go, but there's like these guys that are really priced high. And then they're like these guys like in the middle. And I just don't see anybody under the middle guys that we're going to really target. So we'll talk about that as we go here. And I just want to remind everybody, if you enjoy the podcast Monday through Friday, make sure you guys head on over to FantasyDraft.com. They sponsor the podcast and use promo code Grinders. That way you get 100% deposit bonus up to $600. And you get free incentives here at Roto Grinders for Fantasy Draft for free for a year, which is $180 value. So take advantage of that by just using the promo code Grinders. We're going to talk some baseball. Let's talk it. We have Philadelphia at Miami. These games are starting at noon. And if you're playing in that single entry series presented by Roto Grinders on FanDuel, it's a $50 buy-in, and there's one for the early and there's one for the late, so make sure you jump in that right away. Miami at Philly, Adam Conley, Zach Eflin, what do you got here?
I think you're going to want some Marlins bats for sure, especially because they seem to be pretty underpriced on DraftKings and Fantasy Draft, and I think Adam Conley is one of the strongest pitchers in this early slate.
I agree with you. He's one of my favorites for sure. When we're looking at Philadelphia, they struggle against lefties. And Conley's been good this year. Like, he's been above average. So I like Conley a lot. And you have to kind of think he's going to get the win here on FanDuel as well.
Yeah, you'd have to think he's going to get the win. And like you said, he's been good. He has strikeout upside. Philly's weak against lefties. They're taking a big park hit into Miami. Because of the heat there, the roof is almost guaranteed to be closed, which I think is going to give him a big advantage over a lot of these other guys who are all going to be in open-air stadiums dealing with heat today, basically. So I think Conley's pretty sneaky, and he's not even, like, one of the more expensive guys. He's on kind of the low end of the viable options in terms of price.
Yeah, I live in Central Florida, and it's supposed to be in the high 90s tomorrow here, and I can just imagine it's going to be hotter in Miami. So our 98-99 is like 110, it feels like. It's ridiculous. So there's no way they're going to get fans to sit in the heat. So I'm with you. I think the roof is definitely be closed, and I think you make a great point there for Conley. Let's talk bats in this game. We'll start with Philadelphia. Is there anything that you like here against Conley?
There's really not. I mean, I guess you can make a case for a guy like Michael Franco just because he's going to have a platoon advantage. But, I mean, when you take him out of Citizens Bank, when you put him in a park that's going to have the roof closed like that against one of the better pitchers of the day, I really don't think there's many Philly bats that are going to be especially good options in cash games.
Yeah, I'm with you. Nothing really standing out to me. On Fantasy Draft, where you can play up to five first basemen if you want, if you want Tommy Joseph as a one-off tournament play, if you're not playing Conley on that team, I have no issue with Joseph as a one-off, but I'm not really liking the Philadelphia bats. I think I'm on Conley here.
Yeah, I'm with you. Joseph always has power potential. I like Franco's price better, so if I'm doing a one-off, it's probably going to be him, but there's certainly power upside with Joseph.
you're playing on DraftKings and Fantasy Draft today in this early slate. How do you look over this price of Stanton?
You don't. You play him.
Like, that's ridiculous, right? Like, he's like, just put him in your lineup, cash or tournaments, and just, you know, ride it to the bank.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, we're going to get into some of the more potent offenses in this early slate, like the Jays and the Red Sox and guys like that. But because I think you do have to spend pretty heavily on pitching, I think you're probably going to wind up with two or three of these value Miami bats. Like, Stanton is really well priced. Ozuna is really well priced. Derek Dietrich is downright cheap. So there's definitely some value to be found here.
Yeah, I'm all over Dietrich. I like Dietrich just about all the time. And he moved up into the five spot. There was somebody that scratched, and he moved up into the five spot. If he's in the five spot, that's a lot better than hitting seventh or eighth. So I definitely have some interest at this price tag. Ozuna, like you mentioned, he's cheap. And I don't mind, you know, if you're stacking the Marlins or doing a mini stacker or something, you have to get Yelich in there even at his expensive price just because he's just been so good this year.
Yeah, absolutely. He's not cash game viable at that price, but if you're doing a Marlins stack, he absolutely has to be a part of it.
All right. That's enough time on the Phillies and the Marlins. Washington at Cleveland, probably one of the better games as far as pitchers go. We have Strasburg against Carrasco. What's your thoughts here on these two guys?
So these are two of probably the three most talented pitchers on the slate, but it's just a terrible environment for pitching. So it's going to be risky to roster either one of these guys. I don't think it's – I'm not telling you not to do it, but you have to acknowledge the risk. For me, I would take Carrasco before Strasburg. I think there's more strikeout upside there. He's at home. He's not getting the unfavorable league shift that Strasburg is dealing with. So I don't know. I think that might be maybe a contrarian choice there. I imagine Strasburg, people are going to like him a little bit more. But especially if I'm going to save money on Carrasco, I think he's the play.
Yeah, I definitely find that interesting. Because, you know, when you look at the slate, there's really going to be three guys up towards the top. I guess you can maybe say four if you want to include Adam Conley, but you're going to have Bumgarner, Strasburg, and Carrasco. With these two guys pitching against each other, I don't see a lot of people taking either one on FanDuel. I could be wrong. Strasburg's been pitching great this season, so people will probably go towards him more. So I definitely agree with you on Carrasco being the lower-owned play here.
Yeah, and if we're looking at a site like Fantasy Draft where you need two pitchers and Bumgarner is not available as one of them,
yeah,
then I think you almost have to take one of these two, and you're going to save close to $3,000 on Carrasco. So for me, I think it's Carrasco and Conley as your pair.
That's interesting. I don't love it. I don't love either one of these pitchers, but like you said, on the two-pitcher site, I have to take one of them. So I think I'll save the money and go Carrasco as well. I might even play them against each other on a couple teams just because, you know, the win doesn't mean as much on Draft and DraftKings. So, you know, in both these guys, this could be easily a 2-1 game here.
It could, or I could also see it being, you know, a 6-7 game. Like, it's a really good hitter's park. Like, Progressive Field is one of the best hitter's parks in baseball, and nobody talks about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's just I don't know what to do with these guys. So it's a tough situation. We see the line when you look at Vegas. It's pretty even. You know, Carrasco's a small favorite. So Vegas is kind of agreeing with you here. I see no reason to disagree. It's a 7.5 total. It's just one of those games where you got to be careful with who you take.
Absolutely.
Now, talking bats in this game, is there anything that stands out to you here?
Not really. I mean, even though, like I said, this is much better conditions for hitting than it is for pitching, it's not like you really want to target against either of these guys.
Yeah, if I had to play one-offs in tournaments, it's going to be Murphy or Harper just because they're Murphy and Harper. I don't even have to give analysis. You know, they're Murphy and Harper, and Carrasco does give up a lot of hard contact to lefties. So that would be the only spot that I would go on either one of these teams.
Yeah, I could be swayed to Murphy or Harper if they weren't priced as if they were facing, like, Dan Straley. You know, like, Murphy on DraftKings is 5,100. Like, that's insane against Carrasco. You can't do that in a cash game. But in a GPP, maybe that price drives down ownership.
You're right. It does drive down ownership. We're turning you here. We're getting you into this GPP mindset. Oh, bring him on the podcast once a week, and he starts thinking like a GPP guy. I love it. One thing that I do love is this matchup here, San Diego at Toronto. Estrada and Perdomo. I don't like either one of these pitchers. If you do, tell me why.
I mean, I don't hate Estrada. I mean, mostly just because we have a pretty short slate here. There's not a ton of options. And it's the Padres. Like, I haven't been super on Blue Jays pitchers in terms of, like, paying up for them the past couple days. But it's a solid matchup. It's the Padres. It's a righty against the Padres. They just traded Upton, so they have one fewer. I mean, I guess you could maybe call him a legitimate bat. By Padres standards, he was a legitimate bat. So one fewer one of those guys in the lineup. So yeah, I think Estrada is viable enough.
I don't. Yeah, I just the Padres have been one of the best teams in baseball in the month of July. Like, it's crazy to think that they're still striking out a ton. So I guess the upside's still there with strikeouts. But you know, when we're looking at the slate, I guess you have to have an SP2, and I don't hate it if you go Estrada. But I actually like some bats here for the Padres.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you where I think playing pitchers against the Padres, no matter what, because they're Padres, is kind of an overrated tactic. Like, I don't normally do that. But, I mean, as a GPP guy, there's definitely the strikeout upside here, and you'd have to think he's going to get the win.
I definitely think he'll get the win. I'm with you there. Perdomo has struggled against lefties and righties just this whole season. It's just a massive amount of upside for the Blue Jays bats. So, give me the Blue Jays that you like here.
I mean, you like all of them, honestly, but they're so expensive. Like, we've kind of bearing the lead because it's the last game in this slate, but, like, Madison Bumgarner, you have to play in your cash games today, and he's super expensive, and there's no cheap SP2 to pair him with. So, like, as much as you want to play Donaldson and E5 and Bautista and Saunders, like, you can't do it. So if you're spending up on one, for me, it might be Donaldson.
Yeah, if you had to pick one, I feel like it'd be Donaldson for me too. But, you know, Bautista and E5, they're not extremely overpriced like Donaldson is, and even Saunders. Like, you know, you can fit these guys in when you're building your lineups here, and you're not going to, like, break your back. So I don't hate either one of those guys, maybe playing both of those guys instead of Donaldson, but I think Donaldson's the play. And if you need some value, look on the other side of this game and keep playing my dude here, Dickerson. I just continue to recommend him, and he just continues to hit home runs.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of him. I'm a big fan of Ryan Schimpf. He's getting too expensive on DraftKings and Fantasy Draft, but I think he's still really cheap on FanDuel. So I'm always a big fan of Schimpf. The one other Blue Jay that I completely forgot to mention, mostly because we don't know what's going to happen with him yet, but Melvin Upton Jr., he's only 3,500 on DraftKings. If he happens to be, like, leading off and they put Bautista in a more traditional role, he could be a great value there.
Yeah, I don't hate that call. It's all going to come down to lineup spot. They play at 12:37, so we should have the lineup well before lock, so you'll be able to make that decision. We mentioned Schimpf, we mentioned Dickerson. Solarte, he comes in at a pretty good price as well. I don't mind the lefties here against Estrada.
Yeah, they're not the first place I'm going to look for cash game value, just because I do think Estrada is decent. But I can see them as, like, a one-off, or, you know, as part of a GPP type of thing.
Yeah, I don't mind the Padres, like, three or four man little stack here. Call me crazy, but, you know, Estrada, flyball pitcher, it's in Toronto. It's a massive ballpark upgrade for San Diego. I don't hate it. I think I saw a stat today. They've hit, what, home runs in 24 straight games?
I didn't see that, but yeah.
It's insane. It's crazy. I'm pulling it up here because I know somebody texted to me and I didn't believe him, so I had to look it up. But yeah, it says they've hit a home run in 24 straight games, the first team since the 02 Rangers and the sixth team in history to do it. It's just insane.
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
Oh, the Padres. Oh, don't play Estrada. Anyway, let's move on. Detroit at Boston. Michael Fulmer, Rodriguez facing off against each other here. What's your thoughts overall in this game?
I'm expecting some runs to be scored, and I'm kind of hoping that the Red Sox are going to be a little under-owned because Fulmer has been so good this year, and people are going to shy away from Red Sox as a result. But as good as he's been, and even though he was a legitimate prospect, he has good stuff, he's still basically an average pitcher, a little above average, I'd say. I mean, he's, you know, that's all he is. He's not this elite-level pitcher, and so you put a pitcher like that in Fenway – against an offense like the Red Sox, and they're going to score runs.
Yeah, you know me. I'm a Red Sox fan, so anytime I can play my Red Sox, I'm going to, and this is a spot that I'm going to play him. And people that listen to the podcast know that I'm a fan of Fulmer. I think that, you know, he's a good young arm, but this is not the spot. You know, it's the Red Sox. It's one of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team in baseball, and one of the most powerful teams in baseball. And you look at the other side of the game, Detroit's going to break out of this little funk eventually. You know, the game, you know, last night, 9-8, Red Sox Detroit there. So I don't like Rodriguez in this spot either, but he has looked a lot better in his last two starts. I will give him that.
Yeah, he has. And it was kind of hard to pinpoint exactly what his issue was. Like, it looked like maybe he was tipping pitches like he was last year or something like that. But even if he's right, even if he's back to being the Eduardo Rodriguez that, you know, that his natural talent basically says he should be, this is still not a good spot for him. I mean, after the Red Sox and the Jays, the Tigers are the next best offense tonight. There are a bunch of right-handed hitters in Fenway against a lefty.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk bats in this game. Miguel Cabrera has struggled against lefties all year. How much do you look into that? Is this a spot you target him, or do you play the numbers this year?
Yeah, it doesn't concern me. I think single-year platoon splits, they can have so much noise that I far prefer to look at a bigger sample size and account for the variance in them. So for me, I expect Cabrera to be better against lefties than he is against righties going forward. And he's pretty reasonably priced on DraftKings again today, $4,300.
Yeah, I love the price tag. On FanDuel, with him being so close to Ortiz, if you had to choose one, would you go Ortiz or Miggy?
Oh, you have to go Ortiz if you're given the choice.
Okay, I wanted to ask, thoughts on Ian Kinsler, Castellanos, any of these guys stand out to you?
If they were a little bit cheaper, they would stand out to me, but they're basically a lot of their studs. You know, Kinsler's 5,000 on DraftKings. Castellanos is 42, but I don't really consider him one of their studs. But a guy like Kinsler, he's just too expensive, I think, when there are two much better offenses to spend on today and when you're going to have to spend a lot on pitching.
Yeah, the only time that I think I'm going to play Kinsler in this matchup at this price is if I'm running like a four-man Detroit stack.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a little upset to see Justin Upton is finally not ridiculously cheap anymore on DraftKings. He's up over 4,000 today.
Yeah, he's cheap on FanDuel. You can continue to play him at 3K.
Yeah, he's still around 3, right? Yep.
So if you need a cheap outfielder on FanDuel, just continue to play Justin Upton, who's super cheap. Now, looking at the Red Sox, you know, Pedroia, all these guys I think are in play, the top 5 or 6.
Yeah, more on FanDuel, I think, than on DraftKings, where some of their non-stars, basically Ortiz and Mookie, I consider the stars. And then the other guys, you know, Bogarts and Pedroia and Jackie Bradley, they're a lot more affordably priced on FanDuel than they are on DraftKings or Fantasy Draft. So that's more of where I'd be looking for them.
Yeah. And just to, you know, kind of echo it again, if you're stacking Boston, you know, they might be low owned because of their pricing on Draft and DraftKings. So that's not a terrible idea here on the slate, because we know we both expect them to score some runs, and Vegas has this as the highest total on this early slate at 10.5. So I'm expecting some runs to be scored here. So I don't hate a game stack. Don't hate stacks on either side. Tampa at Los Angeles taking on the Dodgers. Matt Moore, Brandon McCarthy. What's your thoughts on Matt Moore with the Dodgers being so bad against lefties this year?
I think it's interesting because the Dodgers they have been bad against lefties this year. He is going into the National League. He is getting a little bit of a park boost. I don't really consider Matt Moore that great of a pitcher. I mean, he's a below average pitcher at this point. And I don't think the Dodgers are quite as bad against lefties as their seasonal numbers would have you believe. Especially now that, you know, Justin Turner, he was really struggling to start the year and contributed a lot to those numbers. He's hitting again. Justin Turner is back to being Justin Turner. You know, Yasiel Puig is back in the lineup. They finally figured out what to do with the leadoff spot against lefties with Howie Kendrick up there instead of, you know, messing around with letting Chase Utley bat there or Kike Hernandez or someone like that. So I do think this team is a lot sneakier against lefties than the overall season numbers would have you believe.
Yeah, with you. Like, when we're thinking of Matt Moore, he was good in that, what, first year?
Yeah.
And then he got hurt, and then it kind of just like...
Yeah, he just hasn't been the same. And it looked like he might get back to being that, you know, that good pitcher that scouts always thought he would be in his first few starts this year, and then he just fell off a cliff.
Yeah, fell off a cliff is a good term. He was playing Pokemon Go and wasn't paying attention, so you know, pay attention to that. Brandon McCarthy, 4 starts since coming off the DL, has pitched at least 5 innings in each of those starts. He's only allowed 1 home run. The strikeout numbers have been there, and he's only allowed 4 earned runs in those 4 starts, and 3 of them were against the Padres. What's your thoughts on McCarthy against the Rays?
I mean, I love Dodgers pitchers in general. I like McCarthy a lot. My main concern with him is just how deep he's going to be able to go.
Yeah.
He did throw 85 pitches in his last outing, which was, you know, his high, went into the middle of the 6th inning. And it's a good matchup. And, you know, it's a Rays team that strikes out, that's losing their DH, that's taking a park hit. So I like McCarthy. I would like him more at a lower price.
Yeah, I just when we're looking at pitching today, I don't think there's a such thing as a lower price pitcher that we like because, you know, that just seems to be kind of where we're at. And everything we say, it's like I would like him more at a lower price. And it just doesn't seem like we're going to have guys at that lower price. You know, it's like 9K or above is where we're going to be at on DraftKings today.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. But a guy like McCarthy, like, he just feels like he should be lower priced. Like, when Alex Wood was $6,000 the entire time he was healthy this year, like, you'd expect McCarthy to be, like, 7 or 8 maybe, not close to 11 on DraftKings.
Yeah, just, like, McCarthy's more expensive than Strasburg. Like, I know Strasburg has a
pitcher after Bumgarner. Like, it's just, it's too high.
Might be too high for cash games, but for tournaments, if I can get 25 to 30 fantasy points, which I think is doable here in this matchup against Tampa, you know, he could be really low owned because people are going to pay up for Strasburg or Bumgarner, wouldn't you think?
I would have to think so, especially with that price.
And, you know, we're recording the podcast the night before, everybody knows that, and it just looks like Bud Norris is cruising in this game against the Rays, and I don't see why we can't see the same thing out of McCarthy. Like you said, we worry about pitch count. Let's talk bats in this game. Is there anybody that you like here against McCarthy from Tampa?
You could make the case maybe for Corey Dickerson because, I mean, there's always power upside with him against a righty. He has such huge platoon splits, and he's pretty affordably priced. He's $3,400 on DraftKings. So there's some power upside with him there.
I think he's the only guy. If you're playing on FanDuel and you have to play a shortstop, I don't mind Brad Miller, I guess, because he has been hitting in that 2 spot, but I don't love it. I really don't love anything here from the Rays.
Actually, Steven Souza is $2,600. If he's hitting like 5th, I think you can make the case for him as like a punt.
Okay, I guess. Yeah, because if I remember correctly, McCarthy struggled with home runs to righties last year and the year before, right, when he was with the Yankees?
Before he was with the Yankees, when he was with the Diamondbacks, I think he had a really bad half a season, and then he went to the Yankees and fixed himself.
All right. Now, looking at the Dodgers, anything that you love here against Moore?
I don't know about love. I think there's some much better better spots, really, especially when their premier righty, Justin Turner, is close to 5K on DraftKings. Like, there's better spots to pick your hitters from.
Yeah, nothing really stands out to me. You know, Puig is banged up, I think, right now. I think he's dealing with a hamstring again. So kind of have to pay attention to that. If Scott Van Slyke gets a decent lineup spot, I always like him for tournaments because he's always really cheap and he has that home run upside. But outside of that, man, I don't know if I like the bats in this game at all.
Yeah, Van Slyke is cheap, but he's a guy that I tend to avoid in cash games because as soon as it hits the bullpen, he gets yanked, so the value just isn't there as a cash game guy.
Cincinnati at San Francisco, Madison Bumgarner, Dan Straley. What's your thoughts here on Bumgarner, and are you concerned at all?
What would I be concerned about?
He hasn't looked good, man. He really hasn't.
I mean, he hasn't looked great, but this matchup is so good. Like, I think you have to play Bumgarner, and just that's it. Just play Bumgarner in your cash games. I don't care if he hasn't looked great. I don't care if he's expensive. The matchup's too good. We don't get matchups like this time of year very often, and it has to be exploited. Like, it's a weak Reds team that's worse against lefties than they are against righties. They're taking a huge park hit coming from Great American to San Francisco. The temperature difference between the two parks is enormous. Like, it's just, I think you play Bumgarner.
Look, I'm not too concerned. I rode him against the Yankees last start. It wasn't great, but I'm not concerned. If I'm willing to take him against the Yankees, I think I'm willing to take him against the Cincinnati Reds in San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm looking over his game logs. Like, he wasn't great in the Yankees matchup, but it wasn't a very good matchup. I mean, he struggled against the Padres a little bit. He gave up 4 runs, but it's a lefty against the Padres, and he still had 9 strikeouts. And the game before was against Arizona, and he had 14 strikeouts. So, no, I'm not concerned about Bumgarner.
All right, Dan Straley, anything for you there, or are we just going to talk about some bets?
I think we can talk about bats. I think that's pretty safe.
All right. We'll start with Cincinnati. Is there anything that you like here against Bumgarner?
Not really. I mean, no. as GPP guys, if you want to take a one-off for a guy like Duvall or something, okay, I guess, but there's really no need to go that route in cash games.
I know you don't, you know, think this way, and, you know, you have your reasonings. I have my reasonings. That's why fantasy is so great. But if you don't play Billy Hamilton and you believe in hot streaks, you're just not believing in hot streaks, and I want your hot streak card because, dude, this guy is extremely hot right now. And when you have a guy that has the stolen base potential to steal whenever he wants and he's batting 350 over the last 10 games – you have to play him. I don't care if it's Bumgarner. I don't care if it's Kershaw. I'm going to play Billy Hamilton when he's getting on base.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a believer in hot streaks, go for it. I mean, it's pretty clear. I've made pretty clear that I'm not a big believer in hot streaks, and I think Hamilton's a little bit overrated of a play anyway. So against Bumgarner, I'm not really on him.
Which is fine. Like, that's why we do this, and that's why I bring on a second opinion, you know, because I can get crazy sometimes, but – I played Billy Hamilton again tonight. I know he had a double. He had a stolen base as we were doing the podcast. So, like, I like Billy Hamilton probably more than I should, especially when he's getting on base. Is there anything for the Giants that you like here against Straley?
Yeah, I actually like quite a bit from the Giants. The one guy actually from Cincinnati, though, that I might play, if he's hitting second, I could see Jose Peraza for $2,500 on DK just because – he's shortstop eligible, and the price is really low. And if you're spending on Bumgarner, you're going to need to save somewhere.
That's fair. You know, you're just – at that point, it just becomes, hey, I need some value. I can get behind that. And Adam Duvall's $2,600 on DraftKings. So if you need value, you know, like Duvall more against righties, but it's still at $2,600. If you need a punt play, why not take a guy that has home run upside for sure?
Yeah, it's a great price for Duvall, so I wouldn't hate anyone for taking him. At a spot like outfield, though, I do think you can do better just because it's such a deep position.
Yeah, it is a deep position. I definitely agree. Now, what's your thoughts here on Posey, Crawford, Belt? Is this a day we might see Posey get the day off with it being a day game after a night game?
It's possible. I think more likely maybe we just see him at first base or something like that, which – I don't know.
I think he'll catch. It's Bumgarner. I think he'll catch.
It is Bumgarner, yeah. Yeah,
I think he'll catch. I thought about that after I said it, and I was like, it's Bumgarner. I think Posey will catch. He played first base yesterday.
Oh, yeah, he'll catch then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that would mean having to take out Brandon Belt, which would break my heart, because Brandon Belt is $3,000 on DraftKings against Dan Straley.
You loaded it up, huh?
How is that a real price?
All right, we know who you're loading up here.
I mean, Posey's $3,400, Belt's $3,000. Like, it's just, these prices are insane.
Yeah, insane's a good word. $3,000, I'll take that. It's Dan Straley. It's not, you know, it's not Bumgarner he's facing.
Like, that would be the price I would expect him to be against a guy like Bumgarner. And he's against Straley in the terrible Reds bullpen. So it's just, he kind of looks like a cash game must play.
Yeah, I hate saying must play at first base, but I definitely agree. What's your thoughts if Jarrett Parker keeps getting a good lineup spot? What's your thoughts on him at 3K?
I'm a big Jarrett Parker fan in general. Like, I love the power. He has a huge platoon split. So, you know, if he's in a good lineup spot, there's definite power upside there for him.
All right, that's going to wrap it up. When we only have six games, it feels like we just cruise here. So if you're looking for late game analysis, again, make sure you head on over to the Fantasy Fix. We're going to play some Home Run Derby. Like I said, no tiers. We have no course field. So pretty much can take whoever you want, and I'll let you have first pick here, Derek.
All right, so home runs in the early slate. I think we probably are going to – we're going to have to be pretty chalky here. I'm going to take – Edwin Encarnacion as my first pick.
Well, if you're taking E5, I'm going with a first baseman too, and I'm locking in my home run with Poppy.
I like it. I'm gonna go with Giancarlo Stanton.
Stanton, I love Stanton. I love this price on Stanton. It's just incredible. Let's see. I don't know, man. Home runs in this early slate are a little tougher than what I kind of wanted.
I think I'm going to go super off board with my next pick.
I'm going to go Donaldson.
Okay, I think that's a pretty safe call.
Yeah, I'll go off the board my last one, too. I got to think of who it's going to be, though.
All right, I'm going to go with my man, the myth, the legend, Ryan Schimpf as my number three.
Well, if I call Dickerson now, I just feel like a cop-out, even though I love Dickerson.
You did say earlier that you like him. I don't know if that's a cop-out.
I'm going to go with a really odd home run call. I'm going to go Christian Yelich.
Okay, that is an odd home run call. Like, I love the play. Home run is an interesting call.
Yeah, he only has 10 this year and three over his last 10 games, but I like this spot against Eflin, and he does give up home runs to lefties.
Yes, indeed. Eflin's not a very good pitcher.
I get to rule out a bunch on this call. At the end of the day, if you had to pick one pitcher not named Bumgarner, Strasburg, or Carrasco to pick up a win, doesn't have to score the most fantasy points, but you think he's going to win, who do you have?
I mean, I think it probably has to be Estrada.
All right. I'm not with you. I'm off the Estrada. I've been off the Toronto pitchers against San Diego all series. I'm not jumping on now. I'm going to go with Adam Conley, and I think Brandon McCarthy's a close second.
I actually like your Conley pick better than my pick, so I forgot about him. I like Conley a lot, too.
Yeah, I'm not on the Estrada bandwagon, man. I don't know. I feel like he's going to be so popular because, if I remember correctly, he's a super favorite in this game. Yeah, he's a 255 that he opened up at, so it's insane.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't love him, and I definitely will never play a guy just because he's a huge favorite. I do prefer Conley over him. I prefer pretty much everyone that we've talked about. Bumgarner, Carrasco, Strasburg, Conley, you know, pretty much everyone, McCarthy. They're all better plays than Estrada, but if we're just talking pure win, he does have a good chance.
Yeah, anyway, I'm so sick of tilting Toronto pitchers this weekend or this week. I'm ready for next week. I can't lie to you. I'm ready for San Diego to be out of Toronto. Next series, moving on.
All right.
All right. It's gonna wrap it up here for the podcast. Is there any other thoughts that you have here on the slate?
No, I think that covers it. Just, I mean, I know you seemed a little hesitant with Bumgarner. If it's coming from me, I'm telling you to play Bumgarner no matter what. Don't be afraid. He's in such a good spot. Just pay for him.
No, I don't hate Bumgarner. Don't get me wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with him. I wanted to get your thoughts. So I'm glad to hear that you're giving him the Derek Carty endorsement here.
Absolutely.
All right. Gonna do this new thing with the podcast. Head on over to iTunes, leave a review and 5-star rating, and we're gonna read off a couple comments every day. So leave a comment, leave your Roto-Grinders username, and we'll read those comments every day. So make sure you guys are doing that. Subscribe to the podcast, of course, on iTunes, and good luck in your contest today. And we'll see you again tomorrow.